We want to welcome you and thank you for coming and joining us here at the Holy Ghost Calling webpage. It's Thursday evening, and Brother Freedom is excited today from the book of Colossians. That's where we're probably going to start. And I always like all the wonderful things the Holy Spirit has to share with us. The Holy Spirit's not boring. He's wonderful, and he has so many new things to share, good things for us. And he's going to speak through Brother Freedom. Father, we thank you for touching Brother Freedom. We thank you for touching the listeners today. We just give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we just give you glory and praise. We thank you. This has been a trying day myself. I know that I guess that's the way life is. All of us out here, we have things that we face constantly. And I don't know anybody on this earth except from things that we face. But through these things that we face, that's how we grow, and we're confident you are our strength. You are our leader. You are the one that helps us, our provider, our keeper, and our strength. You are our power. You are the witness that we need constantly. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this wonderful day and for all you've done. We thank you for Jesus, thy special son. And Lord, we thank you, and we know that you're coming back soon. I'm going to mention it every time when we come to the air, every time. I believe you're coming very soon, and I believe that you're coming for those who have made themselves ready. And I pray out there for this people, wherever we're reaching to throughout the world tonight, that you'll make yourself ready. Be prepared, because the Lord is coming. It doesn't make any difference what the skeptics say. The Lord is coming. He's coming, and he's coming with his power, with his blessings, and also he's going to take us to a wonderful place. And we pray that, Father, that you bless us in a mighty way this night. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. But in Colossians, the first chapter and the 10th verse, but it starts off in the 9th verse. I'd like to pick up on this. It says, being filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The part that I'd really like to bring out is spiritual understanding. We all need help in this area. We need to understand a little bit, even though we're walking in the Spirit, how a little bit about the understanding of the Spirit itself. And the 10th verse says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You know, when you please somebody, you're putting your very best that you have. You're addressing this as the highest levels, and you're wanting, if someone you really want to please them, you want to have the best for them that you can actually give them. And this is very worthy, and I think this should be more complimented all the time, because as Christians, we should address people in this level, that we might walk, please them, our attire, whatever we do, that we might walk worthy and being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. But pleasing God, this is something that has to be from the heart. It has to be out of your love. So if you've lost your first love, you're not really going to have the sweetness of your offering. You're being like Cain and Abel. Cain was he didn't have that love. And God didn't look that well on his sacrifice. When we put our sacrifice on the Lord, we're absent love and we're absent truly from our heart, God sees it. We can't hide it. And as the more we push on it, it seems like the worse it gets. So we must try to be like Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and I believe he walked very pleasing on the Lord, because he walked side by side. The Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? So when we agree, that means you're in unity. That means you're in one faith, one mind, one hope, one blessing. And that's why the Christian should walk. That's why we need the unction of the Holy Spirit, because he puts us in the same mind frame. When we try to do it within our own knowledge, we have different thoughts. We have different characters. Well, if we get out here and eat 1,000 different things coming out of 1,000 different people, we're not all the same. But with the Spirit of God, he makes us basically the same. He moves on us by his might. It's like God is there with you. If you was with God, you would all be orchestrated by him, because you'd be spellbound and you would just see him. If he was in person, you would see it and we'd be spellbound. We'd say, God's word would be at all. Well, that's where we should be in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is part of God. And he comes not with being visited. We see physically, but we know he's in our being. We see he is in ourselves, and he moves in a very special way. And this is what God is all about. See, the Lord, if he showed himself, there would be 100% Christians. But God makes it where we have to do this through sort of into an invisible situation. We do it through the eyes of faith. And as we believe, well, God gives us all of the categories of who he is and what he's for. And he shows me his mighty earth that he built. He shows how that he moves, like through the sea, the air, the wind, the snow, the rain. All these things are his handiwork. He gives us this. We see how the cattle are fed. We see how the beasts of the field are taken care of. We know how the fowls of the earth are. He feeds all these things because he is the one that made it. But in that, he sort of, it's an invisible thing. But one day, it won't be invisible no longer. We'll know him as he is. Until we get there, then this is what we must try the very best that we can to walk worthy unto all pleasing, that we might be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As I was coming here tonight on the way over, the Lord showed me that increasing is never, you'll never be able to master it, but it's where you aim for. You'll never increase every, but you're going for it. You're trying to increase in every good work. It's something to aim for. It's something to, if you say, shoot for. It's something to look to reach out and try to come to it. It's something that we can have that push for the Lord. It's that expression that we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We want to be that flower that shine, that flower that don't shine, it actually toils and spins. It's how beautiful. But our lives will shine at the brightness of God if we have this. And God wishes this for us in our, the projection is, we don't have to be the smartest person about the Bible. We don't have to be the smartest person about life itself. But God wants us through our minds, our bodies, to be shaped after him. We please God. If we try to do it within our minds, then we're trying to think it in, and it's not really pleasing unto God as it would be if you're just relaxing. That's why we must walk in faith. We must walk in favor, but also we must walk in his likeness and his goodness. And in Hebrews it says, we must walk not in fear. We must walk in glory. The Lord told me for me right now, I guess he wants me to keep it back to the right moment. But there's one other spark that we walking in rest. We need to learn to walk in God's rest. The rest is what pleases God. We're resting in the Lord. We're resting because he's coming soon. So we're just resting because everything's all set. It's all ready. Our minds are all, and we're just resting in the Lord. And that pleases God. When we don't rest, that means we fret, we debate, we discuss, we go out and sometimes arguments. It's because we're not in that rest. That rest brings us down to a place that we're just calm. Because God is love. God is peace. And James says, we are warring. We don't have to really be backslid, but when we get a little bit not really with the grain of God, we're sort of anti. Then that's when we start warring. That's when we start, well, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to think about that. No, I don't agree with that. That's what we get. We get a little bit, judgmental. Yeah, I think you're not doing it right. Now, those are the areas that we need to really to work on as a Christian. And I believe that we grow into these things. God saved us, but we have to save this old man. We have to work out our salvation with fear and heavy tremblingness. I'm learning now since I had this stroke, up to this right here about 8 months ago, I was just time that I was really enjoying really being a Christian because I knew where I was headed. I did. But God didn't want me to know that. This is a step more that I need to get into. I have to relax totally in Him. There's a little difference. The other way we grow into it and we're still walking by faith and all the things are still working, but it's not the same as totally dying out. And that's the hard part about us Christians is we don't really want to die out to the things of this world. We still love certain things a little more than we'd like to give people credit for. We love that God sees it. God sees it how we'd like to see this or this. If it comes to it, we'd like, God would understand and I'll get to Him tomorrow. No, Bible says seek Him first. So we're absolutely, this is what's happening to us in our Christian walk. We're actually giving God the second best, maybe the third or fourth best. I guarantee you, we get down there at the last part, you know, about, well, Sunday's a good day because we're not doing anything anyway. That's the way some people think. So I'll go to church that day because that's, you know, I can do that. You know, I don't have to really do much. I think I can give maybe a little bit of my money. I don't know. And these are what we work at. But these are just a little of the outer things. And if these things are not curbed, they spoil the vine. The little foxes come out here and start destroying us. Pretty soon we're resentful. We're hateful. We're prideful. We're walking in unbelief. We're walking far from where we was once saved. We're coming to a place of destruction. We're coming to a place of having a ruined reputation with God. We come as many places, we see pastors that actually quit. And that's not a star for God. God sees, hey, that's another pastor that's went down. But it's not just pastors, it's all of us. When we start losing our first love, start losing our first values of God, that's the time then to regroup and recommit, take some valuation, and seek God in a very powerful way and a very wonderful way. When I started tonight, I didn't know that God was going to do this. I think this is going to be a good message from God. God wants to work on the hearts of His people in a very special way. And you might think, well, it's not that, it's sort of trivial to it. It's not very important. Well, it is very important. These little things are what keeps us. And in that, you're going to walk pleasing unto the Lord at all times. You might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You're going to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How do we increase the knowledge of God? Just study the Word and meditating on the things of God. And it says, think upon the things that are good. If when you're out here thinking bad things, think of things that are good. The Bible says, think of things that are lovely, think of just, any good report, any virtue, think on these things. The things of God will bring us into a place that will take us into, we become an overcomer. As overcomer, I don't believe that we actually start out as overcomers. We grow into it. And God, with us, He gives us, we're still saved. As long as we keep it up to date because we're pleasing the Lord as we're growing into the Lord. There's come a day when the Lord says, hey, your time now, that you need to put on regular clothes instead of diapers. I need to use you to start as a worker for me, just being a drone out there no longer, just being that slugger, that one that just be part of the group. No, God wants you more than part of the group. He wants you in the group. He wants you to be filled, thrilled, and excited in the Lord Jesus Christ that you might adore God and you might be the glory of God. You might walk in His blessing. You might walk in His commitment. You might walk in His nature, in His admonition. You might put on the whole counsel of God, which will support you and uplift you and help you in a mighty way. The Bible says that God is not slack concerning His promises. As long as us were not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. What does it mean that God is not slack in all of His promises? You just don't read the promises, you act on those promises. If you're not acting on it, you're not receiving it. You've got to act on it. It might go by you, but you got to say, ah, it's for me, that's for me. And we have to include it in our livelihood. We have to include it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can say that over and over and over, but until you do it, it's going by you. You're losing it. But when you start taking it, then it becomes food. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who saved me. I can do all things through Him. I can't do it without Him, but with Him I can do all things. We have to learn the inabilities. If we don't do it, what's going to happen? And the things will happen if we do do it. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A sacrifice is someone that's actually going the second mile. He's going beyond a normal sacrifice. It's beyond our natural. Like if you'd say, well, when you give your all, that's all you got. If you give, say, a God your tenth, then a tenth is what you're giving Him. In the money realm, I believe that God is well satisfied, most of us, with a tenth. But I think when it comes to our livelihood and living for the Lord, we should start out maybe as a tenth, but we should end up with 100%. And that's our, where that's a tithe is our life. That's what we do for the Lord. But I told a lady the other day, I said, you know, you even in the Lord's work, we need to rest. We can actually get so busy in reading the Word that we're doing no earthly good. And we're not helping ourselves either. We start becoming debaters. We start becoming very judgmental. We become very know-it-all, very small. Yes, small, because we makes us small. We don't have that full picture. You know, and God gave me a divide at one time, and I believe it's about right. He said, tithe my time and reap. So that was 2 hours and 40-something minutes a day. And I did that, and that's probably even a bunch of, you wouldn't have to do that much. Because when you take this in, then you also need to do a praying. You need to do seeking God. You must ask Him daily what He wants you to do. You just can't take the Bible. I heard a lady just within a few weeks ago, she just read that. But God doesn't want that. He wants you to be balanced. And that's how He makes you worthy and all-pleasing. You're not lopsided. You're not out here just praying constantly all the time. Do you just pray all the time? You need to have some fuel. This is the fuel for prayer. But God, with this fuel, God wants you to pray. And God wants you to intercede. So that there's intercession, there's praying, there's seeing God, and pleasing God. That's all separate from the Word. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. We take this Word in as all power. But we don't take it in to become debateful, to discuss it the way that it brings people to anger. And I've seen this happen more times than one. God did not give His Word out to ask it out here and have war over His Word or disputes about the Word. His Word is going to corrupt the world. So you're here this night. We don't dispute about God's Word. His Word is true. You can just let it go. If a person don't want it, God's Word will speak for itself. You can't emphasize enough about that Word. You just give it to the Word. And that's it. Emphasis has to come from the Spirit of God. The importance is you tell it to a person, and you tell it, say, one time, or whatever, and that's about it. But you don't keep browbeating people to place knock them down with God's Word, and you're losing out with mankind because they don't want you around them, and also you're not inspiring them because the Word has become void with them. We need to have a new manna all the time. We need to have a new direction from God. We need to have up to date all the time. And we have this as staying in tune with God. We might walk worthy unto God and all pleasing, that we might be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. That strengthening is what we need. We need the strength of God in us, that fortitude of God that's real, that's there all the time. Strength of all might, according to power, and long suffering with joyfulness. We need the joyfulness. We need to have the joy of the Lord. It is our strength. We need that. It's the power of God. Under long suffering, that you're willing to endure things for the Lord. It says, giving thanks unto the Father has made us meet to be partakers. I was thinking today about all the times that I've had good legs. I'm ashamed. I don't think I you told God enough, and I should have told him constantly. We need to thank God all the time what he's given us, the provisions, the good things. We need to thank God every day, too. That's in the balance part, too. I thank him what he's done. I thank him for my body. I thank him for him helping me. I'm thankful that I'm no longer in that hospital bed. I'm thankful that I'm here up and out. I'm thankful that he's lifting me up in heavenly places. I'm thankful for that blessing. I thank you for that power. I thank you for that witness. I thank you. Thank you for he's coming back soon. I'm thankful that he's coming for those who are ready. We can thank him in all these areas because they're very beneficial. The Bible says that children of Israel could not enter into the promised land because they were not thankful. That was one of the things. Unthankful in Romans, the first chapter, says because they were unthankful and some other things with it, but unthankful was part of it. He turned them over to a reprobate mind. So when you get unthankful with God, it's very serious. So we need to have a little time every day for thanksgiving. I'm just saying this is putting in the whole man. Wesley, we don't need to read the Bible all the time. You need to thank God for it. You need to thank him for what you read. You need to thankful, and you thank him that he provided for you. He kept you. All these are things that we grow into maturity. And we mature in God's heavenly sunshine. He's got this vast backyard that we can, as God's people, can come and live in that backyard of the Lord. And God will take care of us. He says, he that dwells in a secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, I will say to the Lord, that's his great backyard. And I'll tell you, the imps of hell cannot come down it. It's God's territory. And if you want to come in that backyard, you can. There's room there tonight. There's room in the cross tonight. There's room to come in tonight. There's room to come that God will overflow you with his mighty power. He'll flow you with that mighty anointing. He will thrill you. He'll help you. He'll set you free. You're more than conquerors in that backyard of God. His glory. And you can live in it. You can don't no longer have to get out in the mainstream of the life itself when it's, we're away from God. God says, come in and stay under my mighty backyard. My own mighty hands will protect you. He'll support us. He'll guard it. And you'll find no troubles there. His angels will keep you in all their ways. And they shall bend thee up their hands. Lest even dash thy foot against the stone. God will keep you. He will save you. He will make his face to shine upon you. He will bless you. But what happens is we, as God's people, we want to venture off. We want to get away from God. And then when we get out there and we get away from God's big backyard, we're back out in the way of the world. When we get out in the way of the world, then we can accumulate troubles. We accumulate problems. And we don't need to get out there no longer. We need to come in the closest. We must abide in his back covering. Under his secret place, the most you shall abide. God will keep you in the secret place. The mighty hand of God will, he will dwell in the secret place. The most God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my mighty God. He will deliver you. He will keep you. He'll make his face to shine upon you. He'll restore you. He'll give you mighty peace. He'll give you mighty blessing. But just be thankful. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank God. If we'll thank him, that's all he cares. You know, we don't have to do a lot, but if we just thank him, that's the best thing that we can do in life. If we're always thanking him, you'll automatically get things to ministries. But if you don't thank him, you're not going to get nothing. You're going to start doing these ministries in yourself, and the flesh comes down, and pretty soon the flesh is meeting problems, is coming into things that you can't handle, and you start doing it God's way. You can say, well, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Well, you just believe in God, that God is the Holy Spirit also, if you want to bring it down to where you can understand it. But you need to come into his avenue. He has a big backyard, and it's fenced off to all intruders, and the enemy cannot get you. You draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. We don't know them, but God brings us into that blessing. He brings us in that fullness. He brings us that joy unspeakable, that tower of glory that comes down in his backyard, his glories. And that's what we live in, his splendor. The Almighty glory is glorious. It's beyond imagination. We don't see it, but we know it's there. We know it. We can feel it. And we see it also in the spiritual life. We sense where we are. We know that no good thing will God withhold from them to walk upright before Him, call on me and answer me, and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not. What? We don't know anything with ourselves, but God knows all. So with God, all things are possible, and you can know all you need to know. And all I need to know is what all I need to know in God. Out of that, I don't make up a hill of beans, they say. It doesn't really make nothing. We got God, we have it all. God is our strength, He is our way maker, He is our keeper, He is our mighty God, He is the one that loves us, and He will keep us from harm's way. He will bless you. But His backyard is wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You can be in that backyard and do that. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they cover me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is coming back soon. And He's coming to thrill you, to excite you, to give you hope. You can't find hope without the Lord. God bless you. I pray that God will bless you through the world tonight, wherever you are, that God will meet your need. The anointing is here, and you need to reach out and touch what God has for Him. Call unto Him, and He will bless you. If you're in Timbuktu, if you're in New York City, if you're on the other part of the face of the earth, God knows exactly where you are, and there's no good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright for Him, for those that call upon His name. He will answer you. He will bless you. He will hear your cry. Lord, we thank You. We pray for Your people this mighty way. We pray that You'll do this work. We might walk worthy of the Lord and the all-pleasing. Out there tonight, try to please the Lord, and God will bless you. He will strengthen you. If you need to be saved, God will bring it, ask Him to come into your heart tonight, and He'll be your Savior. Ask Jesus to come in your life. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Whatever your need is, God has the answer. You need to have a book, the Word of God, read it. John 3:16 is a good place to start off. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has a way in the storm, and you can be out of harm's way. You'll walk in victory from now on. God bless you in a mighty way. I pray that God will minister His love to you throughout wherever you are in life, wherever you are. In Pakistan, in Cambodia, wherever you are, I pray that God will meet your need in a mighty way. We thank You by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Amen.